Well, good morning. I wasn't sure how many people would be here this morning. I thought we might have just one row on the front. But you're faithful, aren't you? You are a good, faithful church, and so I'm so blessed to be involved with you at this time. So I was thinking that the mission thing was really great because I was thinking, you know, we're going to talk about life's valleys this morning. And, you know, one thing, Southern Baptists get some things wrong, but that's one thing they really get right, isn't it? They know how to minister to situations and disasters. And so I'm thankful for the Lord doing that through the Southern Baptist Convention and through you. You are part of that. Psalm 23. One verse this morning, verse 4. If you're going through a valley, this message is for you today. One of the most quoted verses in the Bible is this verse. And let's read it together, Psalm 23 and verse 4. And the old King James says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Let's pray together. Father, you remind us today that it's the shadow of death for us, for your children. Lord, if there would be no shadow without the light. Lord, you are the light. Thank you, Father. We have hope in you. We have hope in your word. And we seek the light this morning. Lord, as we talk about the darkness, Lord, we come to the light. And we seek you, Jesus. Speak to our hearts this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. See, the language here is geography. Life is made up of mountains and it's made up of valleys, and there are emotional highs and lows and there are spiritual highs and lows, and we know that. We ask each other, how's your week been? Up or down? See, we understand up and we understand down. So King David talked about this in mountains and valleys. And shadows. And this is not just a location for him. He knew what he was talking about. It was a position for him. And David wrote about mountains and he wrote about valleys. And the Bible is full of valleys. There are a lot of famous valleys in the Bible. For instance, there is the Valley of Achor. Now I want you to stay with me because we're going somewhere. And we're not going to stay in the valley all day today. We're going to see how to get out of the valley. All these valleys had names, and the names had meaning. And the valleys of Achor was the valley of trouble. You been there? Why did they call this valley the valley of trouble? Well, a man named Achan stole some things from God. And they stoned him and his family. And they burned all of his possessions in this valley. Yet the prophet Hosea says in Hosea chapter 2, verse 15, and he's speaking of Israel here, and he says, I will give Israel, her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. In the valley of trouble, there's a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. There was a door of hope in the valley of trouble. Wow. Maybe you're there this morning. Maybe you're in that valley of trouble. I'm telling you, with the Lord Jesus, there's a door of hope. There's another valley, the Valley of Elah. And it talks about a valley of affliction. And David fought Goliath in the valley of Elah in Samuel chapter 17. Then there's the valley of Jezreel. And Gideon fought the Midianites in the valley of Jezreel. Do you remember the story of Gideon? He had 22,000 soldiers. And God looked at this and he said, you remember Gideon? He was the one that was hiding in a wine press from the Midianites. And the angel of God goes up to him and he's hiding in a wine press because he didn't know what to do. And you know what the angel said to him? Thou mighty man of valor. He became that. He became what God wanted him to be. Then there's the Kidron Valley that Jesus passed through when he was going to the cross to pray that night in Gethsemane. And that valley is right next to Jerusalem, right beside Jerusalem. Can you see the pattern in these valleys? In Psalm 84, the valley of Baca, the valley of the unknown, translated the valley of weeping. And Ezekiel is the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37. Jeremiah 31 is chapter 31. The valley of dead bodies. A pattern here. All these valleys speak of blood and battles and weeping and trouble. The valley of Jehoshaphat is the valley of judgment in Joel chapter 3. But there is no place more popular than this valley that we're talking about this morning. It's a real valley. You know, I can't remember when I really found out this, but it is a real valley, and it's called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. You say, Pastor, where is that? It used to be called the Weedy Celt Valley. Today they call it the Celt River Canyon. It's a ravine known for its deep shadows and its rocky terrain and how the people banditry there was there for and still is, I guess. I don't know. But it's on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And you know the story in Luke 10. It was the same road the Good Samaritan walked and found the beaten man. Pastor Ron Dunn said, good and bad run on parallel tracks, and they arrive at the station at the same time. Life is not made up of 100 miles of mountains and 100 miles of valley. No. Life is made up of valleys and mountains. It's not 100 miles of good track and then 100 miles of bad track. You can have a great day, a promotion, a wedding. You can have a new baby, and then comes the valleys. The setbacks, the hardships, the sickness of that new baby. Because every one of us here today, we have mountains and we have valleys. And they're not that far apart. So this morning I want to give you 5 facts about valleys that we go through. And there's hope in the valley of trouble. Facts that are true about going through valleys. And if you don't listen to anything else I say, valleys in life are the places that we experience God the closest. And hear God the clearest. And that is where some of you are today. And the psalmist David is talking about the shepherd. And he describes his shepherd to you. And he says, he restores my soul. And he leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. For his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Why? For valleys are, here's number one, valleys are inevitable. If you haven't got there yet, you're going to get one. There's an Arab proverb that says, sooner or later there's a hush at every tent door. Just one phone call to you tomorrow can change your day, or can change your whole entire life. But they're inevitable. And he says, yea, not nay, but though I walk through the valley. Yes, I will walk through this valley. Yes, you will walk through this valley. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after that, the judgment." It's going to happen. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation." You know, the prosperity gospel sounds good, but it doesn't work, and it's not biblical. And as things are getting worse in this world, you know, they're going to get fewer and fewer of them. Because it's a false gospel. I'm not saying God doesn't bless his people. Sure he does. But it's not an easy road. You're not going to be a millionaire because you're a Christian. Have you found that out yet? Jesus didn't say, you might have it. He said, in this sinful world, you will have tribulation. It's inevitable. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Just as though one man's sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. Sin brings judgment. Sin brings valleys. Sin brings death. And let me tell you this morning. When these come our way or your way, you better have someone to walk with you through it, through the valley. So number one, it's inevitable. They're inedible. And number two, secondly, they're unpredictable. It's not on your, you haven't got it listed on your calendar. Oh, valley coming next week at Wednesday. They come and they go and you expect them. They come when you don't have time for them. They come when you are unprepared. Have you ever had a flat tire at a good time? Boy, that was good. That was the perfect time to have a flat tire. There probably is one. I don't know it, but somebody had one someday. There was a reason. Because they come and they don't give you any warning. Have you ever heard someone say, "Boy, that was an untimely death"? All death is untimely. James says, our lives are like a vapor. It's unpredictable. It's inevitable. And watch this. It's impartial. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, good looking, what the color of your skin has nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter where you live in America or otherwise. It happens to the saved and to the unsaved. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. It's impartial. But here's something good. Number four, it's purposeful. Did you know that? When God allows it in his child, the valley is purposeful. See, the shepherd here is leading him and guiding him. And then he says, in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, don't confuse paths of righteousness for paths of easy living. It's not the same. Don't get mixed up here. Don't think if I give my life to Christ, everything's going to be easy. If I give my life to the Lord, everything will work out great. You know, there was a time when I was younger, I thought that was true. We learned soon. My job will be good. My kids will not get sick. My marriage will be the best. No, no. Paths of righteousness are not easy paths. David understands that. And the shepherd is leading for a purpose. And that purpose is for his namesake. And it's for the glory of God. And you're going through your valley for God's glory. It's not about you. It's about God in your life. And you may not understand what you're going through, but let me tell you, the purpose is bigger than you. Did you know that? The purpose is much bigger than you. It's bigger than your family. It's what is happening in our country today is much bigger than we think. Are you sensing something is going on in our country, in our world? Are things different? It's much bigger than you and me. What's going on today is something to do with the name of God and with the glory of God. And it's His story. It's not just our story. It's not all about us. And you know, that's one of the problems with us American Christians. It's always about us. Stay with me. Let's go. I want you to turn to Joshua 15. We're going to look at a few verses there in 7, starting in verse 7. But the righteousness and holiness of God always leads us to the great struggles of life. David said, "He leads me through the paths of righteousness for His namesake." When going into Jerusalem, they always talk about going up or ascending to Jerusalem. Names are important in the Bible, and Jerusalem means peace. What's happening here in Joshua 15? Joshua is giving out to the people their land in Canaan. And he's describing Jerusalem, the city of peace. And he says, you're going to have to go through some valleys to get there. If you're going to get to peace, you're going to have to go through some valleys. And Joshua 15 verse 7 says, then the border went up toward Debir from the valley of Achor. We already talked about that some. And so get to the valley of peace. To get there, you might have to go through trouble. Trouble to peace. And the border went up toward Debir from the valley of Achor, and so northward, looking toward Gilgal. And then in verse 7 he said, which is before the ascent going up, which is on the south side of the valley, up to Adumman. Adumman doesn't mean anything to you unless I tell you that it means bloody ones. And it means those who have been wounded in battle. And Joshua's trying to say, you're going to get to Jerusalem, the city of peace, but you might have to go through trouble to get there. And you may have to be wounded in battle. And verse 7 says, you continue toward the waters of En-Shemesh, which means the fount of sunshine. It's where the sun beats down hard upon you. And it's dry and it's hot and it's like a desert. And then he says, you will go through En-Rogel on your way to Jerusalem. And it's the fount of the floor. It meant that when you beat a rug, you remember my grandma? I used to do it for my grandma. Took her down the back porch, and you'd beat that rug, whew, and the dust would we didn't have masks back those days. But you remember that? He says to get to peace, you're going to go through Achor. You're going to have to go through trouble. You're going to be wounded in battle, and you're going to be beat down by the blistering sun, dry and hot and thirsty. You know what he's doing here? He's preparing the people for the promised land. You're going to go through En-Rogel like being beat with a club to be made clean. Then look at verse 8. You're going to go through the valley of Hinnom to the southern slope. And Hinnom was the son of Lamentations. Hinnom offered his sons as burnt offerings to Baal. What a good dad. In the Valley of Slaughter. And Pastor Lightfoot says it was a garbage heap, a refuge dump, smoke, burning. It rose continually from this valley and as a symbol of woe and of judgment to get to peace, the city of peace. And you put this all together, and this is what you have. There's a valley of trouble, the ascent to the bloody one. The place where the sun beats down. There's a spot that gets beat out and gets clean. And in verse 8, the valley of Rephaim, northward, which means giants. Now we got giants coming. And here is, you are in Canaan. And you know the Lord. And you know Him. Don't confuse this with righteousness and easiness. See, righteousness is not always easy. Because you will feel like God is killing you. But He's leading you because He's the shepherd. Because He is the good shepherd. And valleys are inevitable and they're impartial and they're unpredictable and they're purposeful. Aren't you glad you came this morning? You faced all this storm to hear this, but I've got some good news coming. Let me encourage you with the fifth fact here. It's temporal. The valleys are temporal. We walk through the valley. It's not a box canyon that you can't get out of. No way out. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you don't stay there. And you walk, and you don't run, or crawl, or skip. You walk. And it's not a race, it's a walk. It's a walk on a path. And here's what David knew. David knew 4.5 miles outside of Jerusalem is the valley of the shadow of death. It's only 12 to 14 feet wide in the places. It's the widest place is only like 14 feet. Can you see the good Samaritan? He was walking, and the fellow, he didn't have to look far. He found him. It was only 14 feet wide. And the pictures I've seen of it, it goes down into, it's like you're going into a canyon. And it is a canyon. But it's narrow, and it's dangerous. And people got killed there and hurt and robbed. David knew the valley, and he said, valleys are hard. There's anxiety in the valley. There's stress in the valley. There's danger in the valley. There can be darkness and depression in your valley. Some of the most godly people that lived on this earth suffered from depression. Charles Spurgeon missed weeks and weeks at the Metropolitan Tabernacle because he was so depressed. Catherine Booth was the wife and the founder of the Salvation Army. And she said, darkness and despair surround my path in the valley. And Martin Luther's wife, you know the story, she dressed up in black and she said, God is dead. And Luther got so upset, she said, you go around like God is dead, so I just dressed up for the funeral. And it shocked him out of his depression. He'd been in depression for almost months. She said, I've had enough of it. Some of you are walking in the valley and you feel all alone and it's dark and the days are difficult. And David says he has something that will comfort us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he says this, and our hope for you, because we are afflicted, for you comfort and salvation. We endure the same sufferings. It's for your consolation. It's for salvation. It's not on the mountaintops that we sense the presence. It's in the valleys. I become more like Christ, where? In the valley. I become more humble, where? In the valley. More needy, where? In the valley. More dependent upon God, where? In the valley. Did Jesus have pain? Did Jesus have valleys? Yes, he did. Did Jesus understand rejection? Yes. Loneliness? Yes. Death? Yes. Because in the valley is where we experience him the closest. I've said all this, you know. My favorite life's verse, I've probably told you this before, Isaiah 45 and verse 3. Kathy, the C, got a friend that has a brain tumor. And I had one in 2005. And I can remember going down that corridor, left the family behind, and it was just me and Jesus. And when I woke up, I heard this verse. My wife thinks I was dreaming. I thought it was on the radio, but it took me a long time to wake up. And here's the verse, Isaiah 45, verse 3. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches in secret places that you may what? That you may know that I am the Lord. That's the most wonderful verse for me. It was so dark. And I found out that the darkness had hidden riches in secret places that you might know that I'm the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul told Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God doesn't want you to be fearful this morning in your valley. Death can bring fear. You must make the decision to not run, but to walk through the valley with the shepherd. Colossians 1:10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You get to know God better in the valley. Verse 11 says, strengthen with all might according to what? According to the message you hear. No. To His glorious power. You don't draw strength from sermons. It's not the point in a sermon. It's the power of God. I can't do anything for you this morning, but God in His power can take you through the valley. It's not some pumped up words from any preacher. It's the power of God for all patience and long suffering with joy. And as you walk with Jesus every day and every moment, surrendering to His lordship and His leadership and to Him as the shepherd, you can have His presence and His power and His promises. In Psalm 23:4, it says, like it says, you are with me. Where? In the valley. Now look at his shifts in verse 4. Don't miss this. He stops talking about shepherd here and he starts talking about to the shepherd, not about the shepherd. He says, you are with me. This isn't just theology. David is talking to God Himself. And he's saying, you, O God, are with me. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, He comes to live within your heart. I think as Ephesians says, He wants to come and live in your heart and make His home in your heart. Did you know that? We talked about that a lot of times. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people. In the New Testament, God has a people for His temple. And you can be the temple of God. And He lives in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And you're never alone. No matter how dark the valley, you're never alone. Wayward children, disease, cancer, a broken marriage, you're not walking alone. Sheep need to watch the shepherd. He's just not wandering around. The shepherd has a purpose. And he's looking out for the sheep. And he keeps the sheep from falling into the deep crevices and the ravines. And he has a rod and he has a staff and to help them. And the rod is a picture of power and authority. The rod is a picture of defense. And He is their protector. And a rod was short with a big knot on it. Most of them, I almost brought my shepherd's stick. I have one. A cousin of mine made me out of hickory. It's got a big hoop on the end of it. And I thought, well, if I'm going to tell you it's got a knot on the end of it, I can't bring one with a hoop on the end of it. But they used that, the one with the knot, they used it. He could sling that thing around and he could throw it. And the shepherds were good enough, they could hit the wolf. They could hit the predator that came in for the sheep. And they were gone. Sometimes it killed them. His rod not only protected, it detected. He could count the sheep with the rod. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where's that other one? And Ezekiel 20 says, he passes under the rod. You know what that means? The sheep they would take and he would turn the rod on the wool and pull it back, and then he could see the skin on the sheep to see if the sheep was healthy or not. And that's like the old saying comes, you can't pull the wool over his eyes. The shepherd used the rod to detect any skin problems, and he would roll the wool back, and the staff was longer, and it was used to deliver the sheep and from danger. And when they fell down the ravine, and that's mine, got a hook on you. You hooked the sheep and you pulled that little lamb up off when he fell in the ravine. And when he got lost from its mother, he would take the stick and he would move the sheep toward its mother. Because if he touched him, the scent was gone and the mother didn't know the sheep. You had to use the rod. God uses the rod sometimes. So his mother would know the little lamb. And the rod is a picture of the Word of God that protects us and detects us. And the staff is a picture of the Spirit of God. And Isaiah 31 says, this is the way, walk ye therein. The shepherd gently nudged the lamb with the staff. John 16 says, He guides us into all truth. David said, "Thy rod and thy staff comfort me." The Word and the Holy Spirit comforts us. And you can't walk through the valley alone. Sometimes the staff is a friend or a pastor or even a sermon to nudge you in the right direction. Do you know why you have Bible studies and we have teachers, and thank God for Bible teachers? And you have, sometimes you meet in your homes. See, church, we need each other. When we're going through the valleys, you don't need to do it alone. To be connected to the family of God and to pray for each other and to help each other. In this church, I think I found out you are a praying church. And you are a church that tries to help each other. The rod and the staff comfort me. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't call it the valley of death. He called it the valley of the shadow of death. See, God wants you to know that when you get into the valley, there's a shadow. And shadows are always larger than reality. They look huge and they look so big. See, when you turn away from the light, you look at the shadow. You can run at the shadow and wave your hands like crazy and you never get the shadow frightened. You can't chase it away. But when you turn away from the shadow, you know what you're doing? You're turning toward the light. And that's what we need to do. Do you remember, I remember when I was a child, about 4 or 5 years old, my brother was 5 years older than me, and he always did tricks on me. I had a bedroom with a little old closet in it in a grapefruit grove, and the trees were humongous back then. They were the real grapefruit trees. They were like 40, 30 feet high. And in my window, I'd see all these grapefruit trees were always moving. And I'd look into the closet, and there would be these shadows. I was scared to death, 4 or 5 years old. And I would freeze, and I would almost wet the bed because I wasn't getting out of that bed. I was afraid of the shadows. Here's what you need to remember as we close. There is no shadow without light. It says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When you see the shadow next week, walk toward the light. Amen. Number 521, musicians, if you come, faith is the victory.